it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to win. Now, that said, you'd be crazy to bet against him because he's been in such supreme shape this year, but he's still got to go out there and do it.
Hello and welcome back to The Big Run. Well, it's finally arrived. The World Championships begins today. Earlier this week, I caught up with Athletics Weekly's Jason Henderson to give you a full rundown of what to expect over 9 days of thrilling athletics. This conversation was recorded on Monday of this week, just before Jason jumped on board a plane headed to Budapest. So some things may have changed and shifted since our conversation, but nevertheless, it gives you a full rundown of what action is taking place across the 9 days in Budapest, who to look out for, and some other insight into what it's like being on the ground covering a major sporting event. A big thank you to Jason. He'll be there alongside the team of Athletics Weekly, bringing you fantastic coverage as the action unfolds. And if you want to watch it all live, the BBC is the place to head to see all of the action. Let's get into the interview. Jason, welcome back to the pod. Always a pleasure having you on. Very grateful to get your insights and perspectives on the World Championships that are rapidly approaching. Well, for full transparency, this episode will be going out on Saturday morning, but we are recording it on Monday, the 14th of August. So things can change. Lineups can pivot and be amended. So if things aren't 100% accurate, we've done our best, listeners, but very grateful to have you back, Jason. So you're heading out imminently, I imagine. You're getting ready, packing your bags, and then you'll be touching down in Budapest in the next sort of 48 hours or so. I mean, from a journalist's point of view, what's it like covering a major world championships? I imagine it's a pretty full-on experience.
Yeah, it's always a bit full-on. I mean, you pretty much know that any attempts to do any kind of exercise or running for the week will go out the window. Although there will, I think, be a media race at some stage. So probably the only run that most journalists and photographers will do all week will be the media race, which is usually over 800 meters, usually kind of slap bang in the middle of the whole championships. And thankfully, it's usually held during the afternoon break as well. So there's no one in the stadium to witness us all plodding round. But yeah, apart from that, there isn't much chance to do much exercise or anything else during the week. We spend most of our time at the either going back and forth from the hotel to the stadium. Although there are quite a few missing morning sessions from the schedule this year, which will give us a bit of respite. We might get the odd little sneaky lie-in during the championships. Although it's always hard. I mean, even when you're there slumbering, trying to get an extra hour's sleep in the morning, you're kind of wondering what's exploding on social media at that particular time with athletes who might have pulled out or whatever else may have happened.
I did wonder, looking at the schedule, actually, I did wonder, there was one particular day where there was no session in the afternoon. I was like, I wonder what they squeeze in when the athletes aren't racing. And now I understand they get all the journalists together. And I didn't realize it was an 800 meter race as well. God, what a cruel distance to pit all the journalists against each other. Well, speaking of the schedule, let's get into the lineup then. So obviously things kick off today when this is going out on the Saturday, and day one actually culminates in a final. There's the women's 10,000 meter final that kind of wraps up that day. I mean, for you going into day one, what are things kind of standing out for you? I know there's 1500 meters sort of heats as well in the morning. Who are you looking forward to watching toe the line on day one?
That women's 10,000 meter race is obviously going to be a cracker. I think it's always interesting as well when the championship kicks off. There's always a lot of anticipation over the first finals that are going to unfold. Everybody's wondering what the stadium's going to be like, how fast the track is, how big or enthusiastic the crowd is. You know, sometimes we've been to championships over the years and the crowd perhaps hasn't been brilliant if it's been held in certain parts of the world. We had the World Championships in Doha in 2019 where things weren't amazing. Going back even further to 2001 in Edmonton, Canada, the championships or the venue got the cruel nickname of Deadmonton, because it was didn't have great crowds. And this sounds a bit harsh, but it's a long time ago now. I think a lot of people have probably forgotten that event. But yeah, when the championships is in Europe, you know, for many people, it's the kind of heartland of athletics. It's where lots of the Diamond Leagues and kind of Grand Prix meetings have been held traditionally over the years. You generally get good, enthusiastic, big crowds. So I'm expecting it to be pretty boisterous and noisy, and I'm sure the Hungarians will be there in force. Certainly on that first weekend. So that women's 10,000 meters, we've got Letesenbet Gide. You can tell I'm a writer and not a television commentator, as I always struggle with lots of the names of athletes. Gudaf Segai and Sifan Hassan, who obviously popularized herself when winning the London Marathon just a few months ago, and is a really popular athlete with the fans and fellow athletes. So that's just going to be really exciting. I think 25 laps of tactical cat and mouse racing, which will no doubt boil down to a big shootout on the final lap or so.
Are there any events that Sifan Hassan isn't entered for the World Championships? I'm just going through and like, is she going to sneak in the hurdles as well? Maybe. I feel like she's in every distance for the World Championships.
Yeah, she's certainly a very versatile athlete. I mean, she's pretty much world class from 800 meters through to the marathon. And if you're one of her rivals, I don't think you would fancy taking her on at any distance. But certainly 10,000 meters, I mean, that's a really strong event for her, because she's got the endurance, as she proved in London Marathon a few months ago, and she's got great finishing speed as well.
From the women's 10,000 meters, then over to the men's. So day two is sort of a do-over. There's the men's 10,000 meter final happening at the end of that day, and I feel like it's kind of one name really to sort of lose really when it comes to the men's 10,000 meters. Or are there anyone else, do you think, that could sort of upset the narrative when it comes to the 25 laps for the men?
Well, Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda is going to be pretty hard to beat, I think. But you know, we've seen lots of really good racing on the Diamond League circuit this year over 5,000 meters. You know, super fast times from guys like Aragawi, the Ethiopian athlete, and you know, he's entered for the 10,000 meters here as well. We've obviously not seen many 10,000 meter races because they're not in the Diamond Leagues, but some of these really good 5K runners could take that form up to the 10,000 meters. And you know, we can look out for people like Solomon Barega as well of Ethiopia. And you know, it's always good to have a bit of non-African interest as well in these distance races. And you know, we've got guys like Woody Kincaid, the American, who you know, if the pace gets a little bit slow and you know, it's not super fast, then he has a blistering sprint finish, so you know, he could get himself in the medal mix. But yeah, 10,000 meters is probably one of my favorite events of the whole week, just how it unfolds over those 25 laps. And probably going off on a slight tangent, probably one of my favorite races in history is the 10,000 meters at the first World Championships in 1983. Which if anyone's not familiar with that race, I'd recommend they jump on YouTube and just search for it, because there were about five or six runners who literally had a blanket finish during a scintillating final sort of 500 meters or so. I won't give away any plot spoilers if anyone fancies having a look on YouTube. But yeah, ever since then, I mean, I watched that race as a starstruck 14-year-old athletics fan, and ever since then I've had a bit of a soft spot for the 10,000 meters. So hopefully this month's World Champs race as well will be, if it's half as exciting as the first one back in 83, then I think we'll be in for a great race.
I love that. I love the love for the 10,000 meters. We've obviously got a lot of love for it on this show with all of our coverage for the night of the 10K PBs as well, and hopefully the new fans of that distance from that event will be tuning in for the first 2 days of coverage of the World Champs. Now, was there anything that piqued your interest for day three?
I'm just glancing at the schedule now, and I mean, we've got the women's 100 meter final going down into the the shorter running events. I think even middle and long distance running fans, you know, they have an interest in the sprints as well. Surely, you know, it's they're all foot races, you know, they're various distances. I mean, I just as an athletics writer and fanatic, I just like watching people race, you know, whatever the distances are and whether there are hurdles in the way or whatever. And you know, the women's 100 meters in Budapest is going to be that's going to be a cracking race with athletes like Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, and there's British interest with Dina Asher-Smith and Daryl Neater, you know, who might get into the medal mix there. And Sharika Jackson, Sha'Keri Richardson from the States, who, you know, you can be guaranteed whatever she does during the week, she's going to get headlines. You know, people are going to be desperate to get a word with her when she comes through the mix zone. You know, whether she wins a medal, doesn't win a medal, drops out through injury, you know, whatever happens, she's going to be a huge story. People are going to be following her. So, yeah, we all love the middle and long distance events, but I think the sprints and sprint hurdles at these championships are set for some great finals as well.
So day four rolls around with an afternoon session. The morning session may or may not be taken up by the media race that we were talking about earlier. I'm sure you'll be warming up and doing your drills in the morning before coming back for the afternoon session that kicks off at 6:40 local time. And again, it culminates in two really, really exciting events with the women's 1500 meters followed by the men's 3000 meter steeplechase, as well as some 400 meter semi-finals as well. I mean, who's jumping out to you across those distances for people to be looking out for when the coverage is on the TV?
Well, I think the women's 1500 meters, it's got to be all about Faith Kipyegon, really. I mean, she's had such a phenomenal summer already. I mean, she must be a front runner for the Female Athlete of the Year awards at the end of the season, just literally based on what she's done already. She's set world records at 1500 meters, the mile, 5000 meters. I think when she broke that world record for the 5000 meters as well, it was a first race at the distance for a few years as well. And, you know, unless something horrible has happened in recent weeks, you know, if she's had a secret injury or something, I think if she turns up in half decent shape, then she must surely be a bit of a shoo-in for the women's 1500 meter title. I mean, it's been a very competitive event in recent years, and it keeps getting stronger and stronger. The British athletes have got a chance of getting in the medal mix. Laura Muir, Katie Snowden, Melissa Courtney-Bryant, they've all been running really well this year. You know, they've got chances, but, you know, there's younger up-and-coming runners coming through the whole time. A young Ethiopian called Berkey Haylom, who's only 17. She set a world junior mile record this year and has been showing some fantastic form. I think on paper at the moment, she's a really good bet to win a medal. The Brits aside, we've got Cara McGeehan, who's also been in great form. She had a great season last year as well, and she's carried it on into this year. You know, I think we're looking at Faith Kipyegon being off and away and probably having the race to herself. But I think behind her, there's going to be a big scrap for the minor medals.
So following hot on the heels of the women's 1500 metres, approximately 12 minutes later, according to this schedule, it's quite nice having the exact time. So 21:42 local time, we'll be having the men's 3000 metre steeplechase. I love the steeplechase. I love watching it. I love the drama of the water jump. I just love the drama of the event. So for people watching, who should they be looking out for in that race?
I think Soufiane El Bakkali is possibly the favourite, the Moroccan. He's been pretty much unbeatable in recent years, but there's a couple of really good Ethiopians who should be able to give him a run for his money. Lemecha Gurma, who's been the kind of nearly man at recent championships. He's finished runner up at several of the most recent global championships. But he broke the world indoor 3000 meter record earlier on this year. So he's obviously a man in form. And then Getnet Wali as well, his Ethiopian teammate. They've both been in really good form lately. And I think that's going to be a real shootout between El Bakkali and the Ethiopians.
Fantastic. Really exciting stuff. So rolling into day five then, another full day of action unfolding and then culminating in two 400 meter events, the women's 400 meters and then the men's 400 meter hurdles. And I think for the men's 400 meter hurdles, there's only kind of one name that immediately springs to mind as a shoe-in, like you were saying with Faith Kipyegon for the women's 1500. The Norwegian, not that Norwegian, the other really wildly talented Norwegian. It feels like it's going to be his race to lose. Would that be a fair assumption, do you think, for the men's 400 meter hurdles?
Yeah, I think Carsten Warholm has been in incredible form this year. You know, he was injured during 2022 and wasn't at his best last year. But this year he's kind of come back into the similar kind of form that he had in the Tokyo Olympic year. And he looks pretty much invincible right now. I mean, he's got some good rivals, Rye Benjamin, Alison Dos Santos. But, you know, they've had injury problems. They're possibly not at their best. You know, Warholm's been winning pretty easily on the Diamond League circuit. He looks really, really unbeatable. Betting in athletics is strictly speaking, it's banned. It's in the World Athletics rule book that it's not allowed. But I sometimes have a bit of a sneaky look at the odds. And I would add that I'm not really much of a gambler myself, and I certainly wouldn't endorse it. But just out of interest, I just like to look and see what the bookies have as their favourites. And Warholm, as you can imagine, is an absolute, you know, odds-on favourite, just ridiculous odds. It wouldn't be worth betting on him. Although, interestingly, there are one or two even hotter favourites at the championships. I think the women's triple jumper, Ulimar Rojas, she's an even hotter, bigger favourite than Warholm, if indeed that's possible. I don't usually do much betting. I usually bet on the Grand National maybe once every 12 months at the most. But yeah, for the World Championships in Budapest, it's not even worth betting on someone like Carsten Warholm because you wouldn't even get any money back because he's such a nailed-on favourite.
Well, the event sort of just before the men's 400 meter hurdles is the women's 400 meters. Now, with the women's 400 meters, there was one very exciting favorite athlete that everyone was looking forward to towing the line at that event, who now won't be competing in that discipline. Does that open up the competition a bit more? Will the bookies be scrambling and recalibrating their odds based on that sort of last minute decision from Sydney?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the beauty of athletics in that anything can happen. I mean, even in Carsten Warholm's race, I mean, there are all the hurdles in the way, you know, you can hit one. You know, injuries can happen at any time in the run up to the championships. You know, strange things can happen in athletics, which is what makes it so compelling. So yeah, in the women's 400 meters, it looked like it was Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone's race. She was in such good form at the US Championships a few weeks ago, but you know, now she's out. She's made a controversial decision to pull out of the championships with a minor injury to focus on the Olympic year next year, and you know, it's really opened it up. Marilady Polino, who beat Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone earlier on this summer. You know, she's probably the favourite now, I'd say. You know, watch out for Salwa Eid Nasser, I would say. A lot of people might not be very familiar with her name or might struggle to remember her, but if I remind you that she was the girl who won the world title in 2019, and she won it in a ridiculously fast time. It was the quickest time for many years. But then she had a doping ban because she missed tests. She had a suspension for breaking the whereabouts rules. So she served her time out. Now she's back. She's been in kind of modest form this summer so far. But you know, the last time she raced was a few weeks ago. And I just have a feeling she's going to maybe get back into the kind of shape she was in 2019. Nasser is one name that could maybe get to the top of the podium in Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone's absence.
Interesting. And again, just caveat all of this. This is not a betting assist this podcast, but some interesting perspectives there. I'd be curious to see what the odds are on that. So moving forward into day six. Now, again, with the women's 400 meter hurdles, it feels like there's again a lock for that. with Femke Bol. Would that be the same thing with the bookies odds, where you'd kind of not really want to, it wouldn't be worth putting any money down because you probably wouldn't see any return on that? Or might there be some upsets there, apart from obviously the hurdles getting in the way?
Yeah, I think Femke Bol is another odds-on favourite for her events. I mean, she's been in fantastic shape this summer. I think she's unbeaten maybe all summer or all year, because her great form spanned back to the indoor season as well. You know, back in the indoor season, she broke Jarmila Kratochvilova's long-standing 400-meter indoor record. I think it stood since the 1980s. And then she's taken that form into the outdoor season as well at the Diamond League in London. Recently, she set a European record in the 400-meter hurdles. So it's difficult to look beyond Femke Bol in the women's 400-meter hurdles. But again, you know, she's a hot odds-on favourite, but there are all those hurdles in the way. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows what's going to happen now? Gosh, if anyone from the athletics officials who is in charge of laying out the hurdles may, for some off chance, be listening to this podcast on the first day of the championships, I imagine they're not. But we're not putting any pressure on you here, but, you know, make sure they are laid out properly and correctly. So rolling into day seven, you'll be probably feeling the fatigue by now, Jason, as you're into the sort of the finishing home straight of covering the athletics championships. We culminate with two back-to-back 200-meter finals, with the women's first and then the men's following swiftly on the heels. Who's your money on for those?
I think with the men's 200 meters, it's difficult to look past Noah Lyles. I mean, he's been in such great shape this year. I mean, he looks very hard to beat. Being a Brit, you know, I'll be hoping that Zarnell Hughes can get on the podium. I mean, he's been in terrific shape, mm-hmm. breaking the UK records for 100 and 200 meters this year. But yeah, it's hard to look past Noah Lyles. I think Arian Knighton could be dangerous. He was in really good form at the start of the season. You know, there's always a little bit of a lull before the championships, so you never quite know what's going to happen to athletes during that lull. You know, some of them can kind of step up and move forward a little bit with their training and get a little bit quicker and sharper and fitter. You know, others have little problems. You know, they might have little niggles and issues going into the championships. So, you know, you can't always look at recent Diamond League results and just assume that that's going to happen again at the World Championships. You know, things will change. But certainly at the moment, based on the form that we've seen, Noah Lyles is the man to beat in the men's 200. As for the women's race, Sherika Jackson is the reigning world champion. You know, she's going to be really tough to beat. Again, from a British perspective, we're hoping that Dina Asher-Smith can get up there onto the podium. I think the 200 metres is her stronger event, slightly over the 100 metres. I mean, she's a very good 100-metre runner as well, but 200, she's maybe slightly more comfortable. She is, of course, the world champion from 2019, so she has great pedigree as well. The women's 200 is stacked with a number of names who are likely to run pretty well. Gabby Thomas is an American who should make an impact. And yeah, both those races should be pretty exciting. Looking on the timetable as well, I see they're kind of back-to-back in the schedule as well, which always makes me nervous, because I can picture myself down in the mix zone trying to interview winners from one of the races. And while the other one is literally just about to set off. So yeah, that's always a bit tricky. But yeah, I'm sure we'll get through it. We've got quite a big team from Athletics Weekly at the championships this week. So yeah, we've got plenty of people to tackle all the various interviews that need to happen.
I imagine it is a real plate spinning exercise, particularly when you've got certain 200 meter athletes on social media sort of saying the exact time that they're going to be running the 200 meters in. So you've got, according to Noah's Instagram, you've got 19.10 seconds to turn around your coverage, because that's the time he's putting down on his social media for the men's 200 meter finals. I think Noah is a fantastic character, and I'm very much looking forward to this Peacock documentary as well that he's been sort of in the process of filming. And I believe, I need to double check this, but I believe the first part of it is going to be broadcast on the first day of the World Championships. I believe so. I need to double check that, but I believe part of that documentary is going to be going out around the World Championships. I'll be excited to see that. So rolling forward into day eight, we start off with a little bit of a marathon at 7 a.m. local time. The women's marathon kicks off that sort of day's activities. So from the women's side in the 26.2 discipline, is there anyone jumping out?
We've got Natasha Cockrum.
Of course, former guest.
Yeah, it seems a little bit strange because, you know, the trials and selection for the marathon was probably a while ago now. I think Natasha qualified courtesy of a 2:26 run that she did in Valencia last year. So you know her form was quite some time ago. I think I noticed a day or two ago on Instagram she was having a bit of a test run in her GB gear. I think she was literally putting the gear on and having a bit of a spin around the roads near her home before going out to Budapest. So presumably she's in good shape and hoping to make an impact there in the upper part of the field. Although of course, as we know, that's going to be tough with the East Africans, who are just going to be so hard to beat in the marathon. I always think marathons are really hard to predict. Just so much can happen. There's so many things that can go wrong over the 26 miles. But I think the favorite for the women's marathon is Yalemzerf Yehwala. People who watch the London Marathon will be very, very, very familiar with her. She's a former London Marathon winner and has shown great form over all kinds of distances, really, from 10K through to the marathon. So I think she's the athlete to beat in the women's marathon.
Exciting times, Natasha. Forgive me, I didn't realize I missed your name. Former guest as well. Oh, I will wrap myself on the wrists, but I will be looking forward to watching that. And I imagine the 7 a.m. local start time will be beneficial for her, because just looking at the weather over the course of the championships as well, there'll be a sort of consistent sort of 34 to 35 degree kind of temperature. And I imagine for a lot of the GB athletes, they would have been factoring that into their training as well, some sort of heat acclimation to make sure that they're sort of ready to compete when it will be very, very hot and humid. Budapest, a real kind of concrete kind of magnet. I know you've got the Danube sort of running through it, but it does get very, very warm in Budapest in August. So moving on to the afternoon session then on day eight, we've got some 800 meters, the men's 800 meter final at 8:30, followed by the women's 5,000 meters as well. I mean, who there jumps out for you in those two distances, Jason?
Well, I think we've talked about a lot of events where there are really big favorites. You know, Carsten Warholm in the four hurdles, Femke Bol in the 400 meters and so on. I think the men's 800 meters is really quite wide open. I think it was fairly wide open last year in Eugene for the World Championships, and I think it's quite wide open this time as well. Just coincidentally, a day or so before we're recording this podcast, I was involved in an interview with Max Bergin, the British hope, or one of three British hopes in that event. And, you know, he's not had a great build up to the championships. He's had lots of Achilles problems. You know, he only just scraped through at the British trials after dying a death.
It was a very gutsy run. It was a very gutsy run.
Yeah, it was terrific. And then he improved a couple of weeks later at the London Diamond League to win the race there. But he admits he's not had an ideal build up. He's actually been able to get a lot of his track sessions done, but he's missed a lot of the mileage and the kind of extra stuff, the steady runs and the hills and stuff like that. But, you know, he's fairly confident going in there. You know, he wants to get in the final, and then once he gets in the final, he thinks anything can happen. It is just quite wide open. I think possibly the favourite at the moment is a Kenyan runner, Emmanuel Wanyoni. He's possibly the favourite. The Canadian athlete, Marco Arop, as well, is a real contender. So Max Bergin and his GB teammate, Stan Rowden, who's been in terrific form so far this year, and Ben Patterson, who's also been in great form and has a really sizzling sprint finish if the race is quite slow. You know, I think they've all got good chances of getting into the medal mix. I think the British men's 800 metres has on one hand been terrific in the past 5-6 years with the overall standard and quality. We've seen lots of fast times, lots of really good performances and exciting talent, but they've struggled to get into these major championship finals and make an impact. And, you know, it'd be great to see one or two of these guys get into that final and possibly make the podium. And, you know, as an athletics writer, you're not supposed to have your favourite events. But when I was a club athlete many years ago, I was just a bog standard club level 800 metre runner. So it's kind of my old event. And I just really love watching all the tactics and the race unfold over those two laps.
So from two laps of hurt to 12 and a half of slightly more protracted racing, the women's 5,000 metres follows on directly after that. I mean, for you, who's looking comfortable there? I mean, could it? There's a lot of actual athletes that are going to be doubling as well across the five and the 10,000 meters. The sort of the American contingent of Alicia Monson and Elise Cranny immediately spring to mind. That's quite an interesting kind of doubling up of those two disciplines. Will any of those, do you think, be in contention for the women's 5,000 meters when it happens on day eight?
Yeah, it's difficult to tell at this stage who's going to be in which events. And some athletes could have raced earlier in the championships and they may have just dropped out at this stage and called it a day. Your listeners will be aware as well that we're recording this quite a bit in advance of the championships as well. So it's always a little bit tricky to predict who's going to be in the mix. But, you know, certainly entered for the women's 5,000 metres as we speak. We have athletes like Faith Kipyegon, who's the world record holder, been in terrific form. Gide from Ethiopia, a former world record holder, who's a tremendous talent and, you know, not short of a bit of speed herself. Gudaf Segai of Ethiopia is probably my pick for the women's 5,000 metres. I think she would probably be the favourite right now. I mean, she has everything. She's got the endurance and she has a superb sprint finish as well. We saw at the Diamond League in London a few weeks ago how good she is. Sifan Hassan, it's tremendous, although she was beaten by Segai in the London Diamond League. But, you know, Hassan is a mercurial talent who could make a great impact in the 5,000 metres as well in Budapest. An interesting athlete as well is Beatrice Chebet, who's won the world cross-country title and the Commonwealth Games. And she's a pretty young athlete, but has just been in great shape this year, you know, really ripping up the Diamond League circuit, really impressing people. And I think she could be a real dark horse, not just for a medal, but even the gold. So yeah, the women's 5,000 metres is going to be terrific. And then from a British point of view, we've got Megan Keith and Amy Eloise Markovic. A lot of people were delighted to see Megan Keith get into the team. She's a young, up-and-coming athlete and had that terrific run at the London Diamond League where she ran a PB of, I think it was about half a minute or something ridiculous. So she's certainly earned her spot in the team. And I don't think there'll be any medals for the Brits in Budapest, but it's great experience for them. And it'll be great to see them in the mix with such a world-class lineup.
Okay, so we're edging ever closer towards day nine. You're getting towards the end of your coverage, but I cannot believe one of the most talked about middle distance runners in the world has yet to make it into this conversation. Forgive me, with this sort of huge dearth of amazing athletic excitement that's going to be unfolding in Budapest, I forgot to mention Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Oh, if you're listening, Jakob, I'm not sure that you are, but if you are, please, please forgive me. I mean, he's the other Norwegian that everyone's going to be really excited to look forward to. So the men's 1500 meter final is on day three, and that's surely going to be a bit of a shoo-in for him, although everyone did think that last year and things didn't pan out the way they wanted to for him that time either.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, Ingebrigtsen is a hot favourite. I mean, he'll go to the front, he'll make it fast and hard, and everyone's got to hang on. And, you know, even if someone's on his shoulder with 100, 150 metres to go, he just seems to have this ability to ease away and just look more comfortable than anyone else and win. I mean, it's what he's done all year. He's broken the European record for 1500 meters a couple of times this summer. a world best for 2 miles. I mean, he just looks in supreme shape. But, you know, Jake Whiteman beat him last year. He showed that it's possible to take him down. There will be no pacemakers or wave light technology in Budapest to assist Ingebrigtsen in making it a fast and hard race. He's probably going to have to do it himself. And, you know, a lot of these rival runners like Yared Neguse, Josh Kerr, Mohamed Katir from Spain, Neil Gurley from Britain as well, you know, they're only a second or two slower. You know, it's only a second or two over 3 3/4 laps. And if Ingebrigtsen has a little bit of a bad day, doesn't feel great, whatever the reasons are, it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to win. Now, that said, you'd be crazy to bet against him. Not that we endorse betting on this podcast, but you'd be crazy to bet against him because he's been in such supreme shape this year. But he's still got to go out there and do it. I mean, if you're Ingebrigtsen and you're warming up for that race and you've got to go out and you're putting your spikes on and you're doing your last minute strides and you've got to actually run probably sub 3:30 to win that race, you're still going to be a bit nervous. You're not going to be standing there supremely confident, knowing that you're an absolute shoo-in. People in the stands might think he's a shoo-in, but I don't think Jakob Ingebrigtsen will be. You know, he's still got to go out there and do it. So he's probably going to be one of the stars of the championships, but we don't know yet for sure. He's still got to go out there and do the business.
Exactly. You know, he is one of the stars, although I managed to forget him for all of this conversation. Jakob, again, my apologies. So back to day nine. We're jumping around the schedule a little bit, but we're back to day nine, the final day of competition. The men's 5,000 meters rolls around at 8:10 local time. That's going to be an exciting race, right?
Yeah, where Ingebrigtsen could seal the double here. If he's won the 1,500 metres earlier in the championships, you know, this could be the day when he wins the double. I don't think he enjoys 5,000 metres. I think he finds it long and painful, and he's not particularly a fan. I mean, he's been asked before what his best or favourite event is, and he always says 1,500 metres. You know, it's just over quicker. It's like less pain. It's very intense, but it's just over in 3.5 minutes for him. 5,000 meters is a long way to knock out those laps in. I mean, what do these guys do? Kind of 61, 62 seconds these days. It's ridiculous. And, you know, nobody's going to give him an easy race. There have been runners on the circuit this year, like the Ethiopians, Aragawi and Kajelcha, Mo Katia, who broke Ingebrigtsen's European 5,000 meter record recently. Other guys as well. Joshua Cheptegei, Gebrewet, an Ethiopian who used to be one of Mo Farah's rivals years ago and seems to have had a kind of second coming in the past few months. He's come into great shape again later on in his career. You know, all these guys have shown that they're capable of running around about 12:40 this summer. And you know, Ingebrigtsen is not going to find that easy. So, yeah, this, similar to the men's 1,500 metres, he's going to start as the hot favourite. But he's certainly going to have to work hard if he wants to win this title. And it's going to be a great end to the championships on that final night to see him in that race.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's so many other names that you mentioned there. It could easily sort of change that narrative. And I think throughout this conversation, we've talked a lot about sort of surefires or people who are a lock for certain events. But as with the nature of athletics and the human body itself, it's a fallible thing. Things can change. Things cannot pan out the way one would hope, which always makes for us as spectators and you as the journalist for exciting and compelling viewing. And one event that I'm really excited for as a Brit that follows on immediately after the 5,000 metres will be the women's 800 metre final. Now, there's one name in there we're hoping to see in their 800 metre finals, and I imagine she will be there, is Keely Hodgkinson. I mean, surely she's got to be in with a good shot for that final.
Yeah, I think Keely is, I mean, you can guarantee Keely will be in decent shape and she'll run a good race. I mean, she's tactically very astute. She's very strong, and she's got real championship pedigree, and she's come so close at the recent major championships, you know, finishing in the silver medal position at the World Champs and the Olympic Games. I think that's kind of made her desperate to just make that final move onto the top of the podium. I mean, she's in a really tough event, though. I mean, it's very competitive with Mary Mora of Kenya, who's beaten Keeley this year. She's a terrific racer, won the Commonwealth title as well last year ahead of Keeley. And of course, Athing Mo as well, whose participation in the championships has been a little bit up in the air. But certainly if she toes the line as the reigning Olympic and world champion, then she's got to be the one to beat. But yeah, the women's 800 meters, I think if there's one race during the whole championships that's unmissable, then if everybody who we've just spoken about there turns up, then that's going to be an unmissable final.
So many amazing events to look forward to. I mean, any other honourable mentions for you that we haven't touched on? Anyone that you think could be, or an event that perhaps is maybe hasn't made it into our conversation that potentially could also be sort of essential viewing for people to check in? I mean, the day itself, day 9, culminates in the 4x400 metre relay, which, even if you're not perhaps a sprint fan, is always a fantastic event to watch, just for the sheer drama that is the handover. I mean, the tension involved in that is always makes for compelling viewing. But is there any other events that that we have perhaps haven't touched on that you think are worth people sort of looking out for across the championships?
I think you're right. I think the relays are great. I mean, I have a funny relationship with relays in that I don't tend to get too excited about them beforehand. But once they unfold and all the madness starts to happen on the track, they become very compelling and exciting, and it's hard not to get excited about them. I mean, the same is with the mixed relay. I mean, the mixed relay, I've always been a bit kind of not too interested in it, but actually when it's happened at very recent major championships, it's been very, very entertaining and exciting. So yeah, the relays are worth watching. You know, all the events really. I mean, this is you know, it's the biggest event of the year by far, and what the athletes do here will be remembered for literally decades. You know, we've had lots of Diamond Leagues this year and smaller Grand Prix meetings and road races and all sorts, and you know, a lot of this stuff will just become very vague memories and won't be remembered too strongly. But when you have medal winners at global championships like the Olympics and the World Championships, it literally stands the test of time. You know, it'll be remembered in 20, 30, 40 years' time. I mean, at the moment, I occasionally find myself doing nostalgia interviews with athletes who won world titles or Olympic titles 30 years ago. You know, I'm not particularly interviewing the Commonwealth winners or the European winners or Grand Prix winners. You know, it'll be the global championship winners, and just this next few days matters to the athletes and the spectators more than anything else. I mean, from a British perspective, BBC will be covering the event absolutely comprehensively. I mean, literally every single run, jump, and throw will be shown on television. Whereas during the earlier previous part of the season, you can't really say that at all. Lots of the coverage has just been on the red button because, you know, it doesn't matter as much, to be blunt. Whereas this World Championships, the BBC knows it matters. So they're there in force, showing literally every single event.
It really does matter. And yeah, like you say, there will be moments that will be etched into athletic history, kicking off from the 19th of August. And like you say, the coverage is comprehensive and fully accessible via the BBC. That'll be your place to go to watch all of the action unfold that we've been sort of talking through. Jakob, again, apologies, but we'll be really looking forward to all of these events, and they kick off on the 19th of August through to the 27th of August. And Jason, along with the rest of the Athletics Weekly team, will be there on the ground bringing you exclusive interviews and coverage as it all unfolds. We'll have to look to find out the results of the media round, but I'll be sure to make sure that we see how Jason gets on when he toes the line in the 800 metres. But Jason, as always, such a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you for that comprehensive, detailed overview of the World Championships, and best of luck. You better get on and pack your bag and get on that plane to Budapest.
Yeah, I think after having covered a few of these championships now, I would say that it's definitely a marathon, not a sprint. So I'll be trying to pace myself through the week as best I can.
Cheers, Jason. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Jason for coming on the show. Like we said, the BBC is the place to go to watch every single part of the action as it unfolds over the 9 days in Budapest. Who's your money on? Will there be surefire winners as we predicted, or will there be a change to the narrative? All I can say is I'm looking forward to watching the action unfold. Thank you so much for joining, and I'll see you next time for the Big Run.